Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my sayings. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that if everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
But I love a good invitation. Whenever you get invited somewhere, you feel pretty special. I'm a bit of a socialite. I love going places. And I have in my hand here an invite from my friends to their wedding. And I was excited to go to their special day. And whenever I get an invite to somewhere I really want to go, there's always a cheeky little fist pump because I'm pretty excited. So I don't know what some of you get excited about, but I'll have a bit of speculation. Maybe if it's a birthday party and there's a bouncy castle there, we get pretty excited about that because I love a good bounce on the bouncy castle. Perhaps on a Sunday, whenever you get invited to a Sunday lunch, you're like, "Oh, I know the food's going to be good there. I know the company's going to be good there." Dave and Ruth Evans, if you get invited there, get excited. It's really good. Or maybe like me, it is for your friend's wedding. And there's a whole range of reasons why we get excited. But like, if we're honest, there's some things we get invited to and we're not that excited. Maybe that's because if they're our friends, we sort of expect to be there. Maybe you're dreading going to a certain place. And whenever we're, particularly with our friends, when we're familiar, we don't get excited because we're pretty much part of the furniture, aren't we? And whenever we come to this verse, John 3:16, we're like, "Yeah, completed it, know it, know John 3:16, easy peasy." But whenever, like, this is so great what we've been doing, stopping and actually thinking about this one little verse, breaking it down into four different nights, when we actually drill into this, there's so much to think about. Because stop and have a think about your birthday, about your Sunday lunch, and your wedding. Imagine if that was opened up to whoever is invited to your wedding. Some of you who have weddings coming up think that is an absolute nightmare. Because whoever is such an inclusive word, isn't it? And the person that Jesus is speaking to here, Nicodemus, was the spiritual elite. Him hearing the word "whoever" must have been shocking and horrifying for him. So I have a couple of props behind me to help me actually understand what "whoever" means. So for us, "whoever" means, if you're young — this is a toy, young people play with toys — if you're old — I'm told if you're an adult, you wear a tie to work. So if you're old, if you're a postman, a fireman, if you are a cyclist, if you love your bikes, if you're sporty in any way — this is just a generic boot — if you are fashionable, if you're not fashionable, guilty. If you're musical, whatever it may be, you are invited. There's not a single person in your whole life who you will encounter where they are not invited to follow Jesus. Jesus came for whoever, for everyone. Not only is that great news, but it's also a great comfort, because some of us sitting here right now might just feel miles and miles away from God. You might be sitting there thinking, how on earth can I be a Christian after this past week I've just had? How can I still struggle with the same sin over and over again? This verse encourages you, because Jesus came for you. You are in that whoever. That's really hard to get our heads around. It gets even harder whenever we think about the sort of people that we struggle with. So for me in particular, being an Irishman, I really struggle with the idea that whoever includes English rugby fans. That blows my mind. Like, I had to get in there, Dave, sorry. But like, when we actually stop and think about that, that means the school bully, that person in work who always doubles your workload, that person who literally shows no interest in your faith, that teacher that always gives you stacks of homework, teachers, those students who never do their homework, the person who makes fun of you for being a Christian, or your next-door neighbours. Just take a moment and think about who your whoever is. It's astounding, isn't it? The person least likely to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus came for them and invites them. Okay, we've thought very well about whoever. Now let's actually think about what they're being invited to do. They are invited to believe in Jesus. And in John's Gospel, you have it in front of you, all that happens in John's Gospel is written so that you can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. God come to earth to rescue us from our sins. So when we do bad things, it creates a barrier. It separates us from God, and we face a lost eternity when we're separated from him. If we believe in Jesus and ask for forgiveness from him, we will be saved. But we hear that all the time. Believe in Jesus. What does that actually mean? And in John, believing in Jesus is an action that people do. It's entrusting themselves, saying, God, I am sorry for what I've done wrong. Please forgive me. But to actually help us with that, it's sort of like my last prop, you'll be happy to know. It's sort of like a life jacket. Because, I didn't try this on earlier, so it's going to be a bit embarrassing when it doesn't get around my belly. I've done my best. Gym starts tomorrow. But you see, when we put on a life jacket, you're kept afloat. You're safe in the water. And you may be terrified, you may be afraid while you're in the water, but as long as you have this life jacket on, you're going to stay afloat. So even if your confidence is so small in this life jacket, it'll keep you afloat. By comparison, I didn't have one of these, but if I had a massive sack of rocks and put that on my back, I can be totally confident in the bag of rocks to keep me afloat. But we all know what's going to happen whenever I put it on. You see, Dave sort of alluded to it this morning, but it's not about the strength of your belief. I'm not here tonight to tell you, believe more, believe more. Believe is all about how strong the object of your belief is. So I can have little faith in this life jacket, but it'll still keep me afloat. So in life, what does that actually look like? What does it look like day to day, believing in Jesus? Whenever you're in work or in school, wherever it may be, and you desperately, desperately want to act like everyone else in the world, believing in Jesus means trusting that being a friend of him, following his way, is better than being a friend of the world. Even if that means, in the hard times, clinging to the life jacket, clinging to Jesus, and saying, Lord, I'm afraid, I'm terrified, please stay with me. So whether you came in here tonight and you've been believing for a minute, for a year, for a decade, half a century, we believe in the same good news for all people for all of time. how could we not share this greatest story, this greatest news that there's ever been? Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you came for all of us. You came for whoever to believe in you. Father, thanks that this is good news. Thank you that it includes wretched sinners like myself. Pray you'd help us live this out in the week ahead. Amen.